broadcasting from the heartland of America
in the Hoosier Media Network studios,
the next generation in conservative talk radio. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, it is. Oh, hey, what's up? So great to have you along for the ride. It's hour number two of the Voice of Reason's weekend edition. So great to have you along for the ride. What an hour number one. So much content, so much to get to, and so little time to do it. And it's great to have you with us. You can find us all over our website, HoosierReason.com, our social media handle at Hoosier Reason. That's H-O-O-S-E-R Reason. And you can sign up, become a Hoosier-holic, follow us. I never give it out enough as well, because obviously we're broadcasting on multiple radio stations all over the country. And if you always want to reach out to the show, you can follow us on there. You can send me a personal message, or you can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com, or there's a link right on the website at HoosierReason.com, and send me a message there. We get a lot of listeners, a lot of emails. Thank you for that. We do go to the mailbox often, and we can read some of your stuff on there. And then, of course, what we get on our social as well. And by the way, that social media is on all of them, Facebook and the Tweety and Instagram and Truth, and even TikTok. I know, even TikTok. That's a bad one for you. How dare you actually be on the TikTok? All that propaganda coming from China and collection of your data. Totally cool if the federal government does it, but how dare that you allow the Chinese? Again, I ask you the question, what's more severe? The Chinese government right now, our own government that calls us the domestic terrorists in the nation, who's censoring and collecting data, and then, of course, can doing the content control of what we're allowed to see. In a time when we see the polls that near 46% of Americans don't know the difference between a fact, like 2 plus 2 equals 4, although according to the left, that's a racist comment, or the other side of opinion saying that 4 is the coolest number on the face of the earth, they don't know the difference between which one's fact and which one's opinion. And that should be somewhat concerning for us, I think, largely because of our education system and because of the content that we see on social media that's filtered and approved by our very own U.S. of A. government. All right, coming up on the program, bottom of the hour, we have Sean Rowland. He is the president and founder of Jace Medical. It is a company that prepares you for something by the, and I'm going to use this term, even though it's derogatory, apparently, preppers. If you're preparing yourself for whatever may come, the zombie apocalypse, to a tornado in your area, whatever situation may happen, the power going out for a while, it's a medical company allowing you to prep by having pharmaceuticals at the tip of your fingers and preparing and actually stocking up on some of these things. Jace Medical will talk with Sean coming up here in just a little bit about what this year could look like. And is there a cause for concern for us to be prepared for in some way, shape, or form? We'll get with him in just a little bit. Let's shift gears a little bit, shall we? Bernie Sanders this week had some interesting comments for us.
It's your week in review.
So Bernie Sanders, as you know, one of our favorite people here on this program, held a committee hearing on, I believe, Thursday. And for whatever reason, we haven't learned our lesson yet. Chad, what's the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again, right? Just doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And you would think that after a while we'd learn our lesson that socialism probably is not the best way to success. In fact, we've seen that in history time and time again. We know that we've tried it a little bit here in the United States. Andy, we're not socialists. That's right. Because according to Bernie Sanders and according to the radical left, like really radical left, we're talking Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, all these nuts out there. On the other side, we haven't tried socialism in the purest form yet. If we could only take it a step further, if we could only take it one step further, then all of a sudden we would have the pure socialist society. And that way everything would be wonderful. We'd be out there hugging trees and singing kumbaya and holding hands with everybody. And there'd be no hate and there'd be no oppression. And that's what they try to tell us. In fact, they've gone so far at doing that that they've tried to redefine what socialism is. Go to Google and type in the definition of socialism compared to going to a Webster's Merriam dictionary from the 1950s and 60s and look at the difference between the definition of socialism. If you haven't done that, I highly encourage you to, because they're trying to change it for the next generation to believe. And apparently we're very gullible, according to the latest polls that we just read, that we'll totally believe it because we don't know whether it's true or not. We just either don't trust anything or we just everything out there that's in front of our eyes, because that's what social media has done to us. That's the type we're dealing with right now. We want that to still be in office. Go ahead and vote for Joe Biden or stay out of the election because you hate Donald Trump. Just saying. Looking at Bernie Sanders, though, he held a committee hearing talking about a more socialist nation. And part of that was his push to try and say that we need a 4-day work week, but not just a 4-day work week, a 4-day work week with the same pay that we're getting right now. Now, this is a piggyback off of what we saw last fall, September, October-ish. Remember when we had the UAW strike, the union strike for better wages, which got them up to like $80,000, $90,000 a year. But they were advocating, if you remember back during that strike, the first strike, by the way, that a sitting president of the United States was picketing along with them, telling you, yeah, you can't afford living off of my economy with the rates that you're making at $30 an hour. You need more, because let's stick it to the corporations. That's what they pushed for. And during that time, one of their demands was trying to make the same wages and actually go up to that $80,000, $90,000 wage by going down to a 32-hour work week, four-day work week. I don't know about you, but that's kind of a pipe dream to go down to 4 days. I'd love to work 4 days. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, that'd be nice. We could sit here and do a three-day weekend. We could hang out. I'm sorry, I work 6 days, 7 days a week. With this and with everything else I do throughout the week, as most people do in today's times. But nonetheless, Bernie Sanders had this grand idea to say that we need 4 days of work and then 3 days off.
We are going to be talking about an issue that is very rarely discussed in the halls of Congress or the Senate, and that is the need to reduce the standard work week in the United States. In fact, the last time, as we understand it, the Senate held a hearing on this subject was in the year 1955. So I think maybe the time is now to renew that discussion. Despite massive growth in technology and worker productivity, millions of workers in our country are working longer hours for lower wages. As a result of the extraordinary technological transformations that we have seen in recent years, American workers are now over 400% more productive than they were in the 1940s. While CEOs today are making 350 times as much as their average employees, workers throughout the country are seeing their family life fall apart as they are forced to spend more and more time at work. At a moment in history when artificial intelligence and robotics, and I hope we all understand that the jobs that people have today ain't going to be there in many cases in 15 years. Our economy is going to be transformed through artificial intelligence and robotics. The question that we are asking today is a pretty simple question. Do we continue the trend that technology only benefits the people on top, or do we demand that these transformational changes benefit working people? And one of the benefits must be a lower work week.
Okay, so lots of breakdown here. Bernie Sanders, that was the beginning of the committee where he just started discussing his 32-hour work week, going from 5 days down to 4 days, 32 hours for the entire week, because, well, we're working more hours right now. We're at, what do you say, 600-800% more productive than we were as a workforce in the 1940s and 50s, and yet we're having to work more because we're not making a living. And for some reason, we continue to go down the same road over and over again, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We continue to go down this road over and over, and we never seem to learn the lesson. When will we learn that we're literally taking the opposite approach to this than what we should? Which is what we do on everything. That's what the government does, and that's the way that we've been trained. Oh, there's a shooting. Government, do something. Oh, there's another shooting. Government, do something. Oh, there's a shooting. Government, do something. Oh, minimum wage. We need to increase it. Oh, it's too expensive to live. Minimum wage increase. Oh, it's too expensive to live. Minimum wage increase. Print more money. Oh, the economy's crashing. Print more money. Oh, it's the trend that we see every time. Let me ask you something. The dream that we had in the 1950s, the nice white picket fence, the work for a little bit, and then we come home and we had the barbecue and we had the kids running around and we had the family time and everybody gets together and we have our bowling club. What was going on then? It was the beginning, but it was really prior to, for the most part, it was the beginning of the centralization of power. Dwight D. Eisenhower coming from and hailing from the state of Kansas, where I come from, where we started centralizing, building interstates, creating the Department of Education, creating this agency, creating that agency. And since then, that dream of having the white picket fence, living the life with the family, working the few hours and then being able to come home and enjoy life quite a bit. Since we did that, look at where we're at today, that ongoing gradual increase of destruction and the focus on destroying the middle class. While we continue to print money, we see inflation go up. As inflation goes up, the price of goods go up. The raw materials go up. The taxes on the raw materials go up. The transportation of the raw materials go up. All the way to the end of the product where the retail store charges you 10 times more than what it used to 20 years ago. And we're like, it's too expensive. What do we do about this? The reason that we have to work multiple jobs is because of what the government has done. Not because the evil corporations taking advantage of the worker. In fact, right now, union membership is in the decline nationwide because businesses realize, like they have really throughout the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, that if you take care of your worker, you have a happier worker, which means you have a more productive worker. And if you take care of them properly, then they make some money and they're happy. You make some money and you're happy. Everybody's happy. Everybody's productive, which is why the United States is the most productive nation on the face of the earth, which we see in our technology and we see in our retail and we see in our manufacturing. We dominate. We dominate. But this focus, this narrow, pinpointed, you know, the blinders focus on pinpointing one particular thing, which is the evil millionaire and billionaire in this nation. This focus on wanting to destroy them and have complete control over them is an obsession from the left side of the aisle, and including Bernie Sanders, that's heading up that movement. An obsession. Show of hands. How many small businesses do you think are actually in the nation? Small business. And by small business, I'm talking the definition of what a small business is, which is a business that has less than 500 employees in the company. That's what a small business is considered nationwide. There are 32.5 million small businesses in this nation that makes up 99% of all business, 99.9% of all business in the country being considered small business. A company that has less than 500 employees, they make up, and this is according to what is the Small Business Statistics, whatever website this is, the SBA's Office of Advocacy.gov, government website. 99.9% of all business done in the nation that builds the economy, that creates your own piece of the pie, that generates economic activity, 99.9% of all business is done by small business, business with less than 500 employees. And they have this weird fascination and obsession with going after the evil large corporation like Amazon and others that are kind of the, if you want to call it the pinnacle or the minority in business in society for how big they are, and saying that they're not properly taking care of their employees, Amazon and Walmart and all these other giants that are out there, these evil corporations, because they're not paying any taxes and they're taking advantage of their worker. And that's where the fascination is from the other side of the aisle, not realizing that they're kind of the unicorn in the business industry when small business dominates all economic growth. And when they try to implement this garbage, how do you think that a small business with less than 500 employees is able to handle paying the same rate for a worker, but giving them only 32 hours instead of 40 hours with the same benefits and the same pay, and then cutting the production down by an entire 8-hour period? How do you expect a small business to actually survive that? They don't care. They don't see them. And there's not real representation for small business in D.C. These guys are idiots. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. It's your Patriot on the Prairie. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
On the Prairie, broadcasting all over the nation, right here from the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, the Hoosier Media Network studios, and it's so great to have you with us. Hey, do me a favor real quick. While you're listening to this, go to the website, Bidenomics.com. Seriously, go to the website, Bidenomics.com, and see what you see there. There is a new campaign from our great partners here on the program, Americans for Prosperity, where they literally bought the domain of Bidenomics.com. While Joe Biden's out on the campaign trail trying to revive Bidenomics, talking about his Investing in America tour, how great, how much money he's printed and spent across the nation, Americans for Prosperity has purchased the domain of Bidenomics.com. So while he's talking about how great Bidenomics is, they give you the real numbers. So when people want more information, they're like, Bidenomics.com, they go there and they can see what devastation that his economy's actually done to the nation hat tips to our friends at Americans for Prosperity. You want to talk about truth? That's how you get the truth out. You want the information and content? That's how you get the information and content out. So well done, AFP. We love you guys. You're great partners here on the show. That's clever. Well done. Purchasing Bidenomics.com. You can also get the information at prosperityispossible.com. While we talk about this push for the economy, this destruction of the private industry, this destruction of small business, the Democrats and Bernie Sanders and the socialists want to do, the destruction of our nation as a whole, this is the information we have to get out. This is why this election is more important than ever before. So go to prosperityispossible.com, sign up, get the information that you can to help out during the campaign trail. Also go to Bidenomics.com. No, it's not a dirty one because this is run by AFP to give you the true numbers of what Bidenomics is doing to this great nation. I ask you again, if you're a small business owner, and I know that many of you are that listen to this program, if you have an employee, let's say you have 10 employees, 20 employees, and all of a sudden they say, all right, now your employees can only work 32 hours and anything above that, now you have to pay overtime, which means time and a half and additional benefits and so on and so forth. You can only pay 32 hours for regular hours. So the production's going to go down, but you have to pay the same amount. So you're not increasing your productivity to create more of your product to make more money. You actually have to make less of it, but you still have the same expenses, or you get to pay more expense by the overtime, time and a half, and whatever else that your company may actually offer. As a small business, can you actually afford that? Can you do that without the destruction of your small business? So every Democrat, and Bernie Sanders being prime example A right here, that's advocating for this, they don't give a you-know-what about you. And we knew that already, but this is the destruction that they call. And they look at Amazon, they look at Walmart, they look at these major corporations, which are kind of the unicorns, because, again, when 99.9% of business is being generated by small business, that by definition is less than 500 employees, you can't afford that, especially with the ongoing inflation right now that's under Bidenomics, up near 20% over the past 3 years, the printing of the money, the devaluing of the dollar, already the benefits and the raise in minimum wage that we're seeing. The private industry is going to be completely destroyed by this. And they don't care. In fact, Fox Business caught Bernie Sanders after the hearing to ask about the way business could survive on this. And this is what they had to say.
It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers.
Really? Is that what you think?
pay their workers.
Excuse me.
I didn't get to ask the question.
Okay, thank you.
Senator.
Hold it. Okay. We held a hearing on a 32-hour work week because what we have seen is that over the last 50 years, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, almost all of the new wealth has gone to the top 1%.
Not true.
While 60% of the people living paycheck to paycheck.
Why
is that?
Many
of our people are exhausted. We work the longest hours of any people in the industrialized world. I think it's time for a shortened work week.
Can I ask you a question about that? It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers more, lower prices, people not to work.
You know what I would like to see?
How are businesses going to survive that? That's the question. How can businesses survive all of those proposals?
When Mr. Bezos pays an effective
Jeff tax. Bezos, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, those evil corporations, small businesses, to hell with you. You don't matter, even though you generate all the economic activity. What a buffoon. This is the progressive agenda that we have to battle.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
John Wright, it is. Welcome back into it. Last half hour of the program. Oh, how it flies by oh so quickly. So we have the attack on the private sector, which is the favorite thing that the Democrats like to do by using the scarecrow arguments of the major corporation, evil corporations. How dare you? Amazon and Walmart and all these others. And, you know, the millionaires and billionaires, the corporate CEOs that don't pay any taxes, which, by the way, is a complete lie. But they don't know how to respond when we ask them about small business, because this would affect everybody. Just like how Joe Biden tries to talk about the, you know, the economy needs to be built from the bottom up and the middle out, or whatever he says. Apparently he likes, like, you know, muffin top people, but the economy, which you want a strong middle class, but the middle class has shrunk under Bidenomics and under the Biden economy, under Democrat policies, not under Republican policies. In fact, we did tax cuts, and they say, well, it was just for the millionaires and billionaires. Not true. Do they get more of a tax cut? Sure, because we do it by percentage. So if you're paying more in, then that means you get more back. If you pay little in, then you get a little back, but you still get some in as well. It's a wild concept. I want to use Kansas for just an example, by the way. And I know that minds are blowing and exploding in the left side. A shout out to our friends up in the Seattle, Washington area that listen to the program as well, because you guys have to deal with that garbage a lot in the great state of Washington. But our friends up at KGTK and KITZ in the Seattle area, we love you guys up there as well, that you guys have to deal with this on a regular basis, because that state has gone so far progressive that it's kind of sad on how ridiculous things have been for you guys. And you continue to see inflation go up. You see, just like California, that people are leaving, that unless you're part of the tech industry, unless you're making a massive amount of money, it's not affordable. So where's the middle class going? Where's the middle class? Because the middle class used to be, and the numbers vary for a while, but now they say anybody making, what, like $150,000 is middle class? I'm sorry, but shouldn't we be approaching this on the different angle? And that's really what we have to do. Now, is it harder? Sure, it's harder. It's more difficult. Absolutely, it's more difficult. By driving prices down to where you don't have to work more, but you can actually afford more based on the work that you're doing right now. We don't have to get rid of a 5-day work week. We don't have to get rid of the 40-hour work week. We have to make things affordable to where we could actually live off of a 40-hour work week without having to do a side job just to keep things going. We see the credit cards, personal credit card, skyrocketing right now with debt, because people during inflation times, during the Bidenomics, they are actually trying to keep their same lifestyle without actually adjusting their lifestyle by just putting it on the credit card. Now you have the credit card payment along with everything else, and you can't afford it. And that's where we're at today. So Bernie Sanders having the grand idea, and when asked about it with the small businesses, he loses his mind. He goes ballistic, being caught in the hallway by Fox Business.
It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers.
Really? Is that what you think?
pay their workers.
Excuse me.
I didn't get to ask a question.
Hold on. First of all, I got to say, doesn't that almost sound like how Joe Biden was confrontational during the State of the Union? When's all that? Oh, really? Oh, you think that, huh? Oh, seriously? Really? They try to get sarcastic, and it doesn't work very well. They just get kind of argumentative, and they really make themselves look a little bit more foolish. Kind of like AOC, where she's getting confronted by her own side going to the theater by not condemning Israel to be a terrorist organization. And I've already spoken my piece, and she gets angry at her own party. The destruction of the left. But I continue.
It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers.
Really? Is that what you think?
pay their workers.
Excuse me.
I didn't get to ask a question.
Okay, thank you.
Senator,
hold it. Okay.
He tries to walk off, then he has to come back.
On a 32-hour work week, because what we have seen is that over the last 50 years, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, almost all of the new wealth has gone to the top 1%, while 60% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. Many of our people are exhausted. We work the longest hours of any people in the industrialized world. I think it's time for a shortened work week.
Can I ask you a question about that? It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers more, lower prices, and now pay people not to work.
You know what I would like to see?
How are businesses going to survive that? That's the question. How can businesses survive all of those proposals?
When Mr. Bezos pays an effective tax rate lower than the average worker, I think we have a real problem in our tax system. I think that billionaires have got to stop paying their fair share of taxes.
The scarecrow argument continues. That's all he cares about. The scarecrow argument, the millionaires and billionaires. That's all they want. And they don't focus on what's really necessary, which is the fact that we have a middle class that's shrinking and the vast majority of economic growth. Look, Joe Biden, after his State of the Union, proposed officially this last week as well, proposed his federal budget proposal, which for the most part, whenever a president actually advocates for their budget and they send it to Congress as their proposal, number one, normally it's done before the State of the Union, not afterwards, but he is a little slow. Took him a while to get hyped up on his medicines and everything to be able to yell for the entire State of the Union this past week as well. But he finally was able to get it out and he proposed it. And most of the time when a presidential office advocates for their budget proposal, they're like, thanks. They wad it up into the ball. They throw it into the request bin in the corner of the office. We're like, cool, we're going to do our own thing, which thankfully we have a Republican-led majority in the House. It may be very slim, but it's a Republican majority nonetheless that's working on trying to pass a actual budget. But in his budget proposal, He increased and advocated for the increase of our federal budget by $6.4 trillion, which is what it's at right now in spending, to $7.4 trillion, almost up another trillion than what we're at. And by the way, that number that we're currently at, the 6.3, 6.4 trillion, whatever, is dramatically higher than the $4.5 trillion that we were spending as a federal budget on an annual basis prior to COVID-19 in 2019. So now we already are up $2 trillion from just a few years ago when COVID hit. He wants another trillion. How do you afford that? Well, he has the grand idea of passing tax increases for, again, air quotes for the radio listeners, the rich people, in order for him to gather more than $3 trillion in additional tax revenue. I'd like to remind you, and this is the education for the left side of the aisle again, that right now the upper class, the 1% of the top income earners in the entire nation, pay for 40% of all federal income taxes. 40% by the top 1%. How many people are in the top 1%? Not a lot, because it's the 1% paying 40% of all federal income tax. And you want them to pay more? Well, they're not paying anything. That's a lie. That's not true. Corporations aren't paying anything. That's not true. That's a lie. How many taxes do they pay on raw materials, production taxes, employee taxes, benefits for their employees? Are they making money? Sure. Guess what? We're in the business to make money. But like usual, we like to approach this issue in the opposite direction. Andy, what can we do about it? You know, I'm saying this in fantasy world right now. I understand that we're not going to get to this point. We are too far gone into a crony capitalist nation. I understand that we're not going to get into this purist mindset. But let's put on the Democrat fantasy goggles for just a moment on what the world could actually look like if it were run properly and done well. Here, Democrats, take note. This is what the quote-unquote new right represents. And for those that haven't heard that term, new right, Google it. It's quite fascinating. The new attack on the Republicans, the young generation of populist, nationalist conservatives led by J.D. Vance and the young generation. The new right. Yeah, Google that. Here's what the new right stands for. True capitalism. And what does that mean? True capitalism. You get the government out of all of it. They weren't supposed to be involved in the private sector. And the regulation of manufacturing, the regulation of businesses, unless there's a monopoly, which is the one duty federal government's supposed to handle. You stop that, because right now you have a monopoly, which is three or four or five businesses that are all the main ones that dominate the smaller ones and kill them off by buying it off. And that way they don't have any competition. And then using the federal government for their own benefit to make sure they stay in power, they get the federal subsidies, and then they're in bed together. Having all corporate power or all government power are both evil. So how do you stop that? Non-crony capitalism, which is the lack of information understanding the other side has, but true free market laissez-faire capitalism. Andy, what does that look like? That looks like 100 businesses that are all competing. And when you compete like that, the quality of product goes up, the customer service quality goes up, and the price of the product goes down, because you're always competing to try and be better than that other company. That's what capitalism looks like. But right now, you're right. Let's look at the evil corporations. Why are they how have they gotten to the ability that they got so big? Number one, there was a demand in the market, which is what capitalism provides, is the demand. People need it. Someone fills that void and they succeed. Whether it's technology, whether it's a retail store, whether it's consumer side, whatever it is, we find a way to fill that void. Beauty of the system, which is why we became the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But then they got so big that they didn't want to lose that growth. So they work with the government, and then they're in bed with the government to get the subsidies. Pharmaceutical industry, prime example. And then they grow and grow, and that way we can't do anything. Now they're quote unquote too big to fail, which is why you see the bailing out of the private sector and private industry by the federal government. I know this is all fantasy, and put on the Democrat dream goggles for just a moment, because the way it should look is 50 companies, insurance, prime example, 50 insurance companies in your local market where you can all compete. The prices are awesome. You can pick your plans. It's actually affordable, and the government has nothing to do with it, except for when they start buddying up together. They have their backroom meetings and say, let's all jack up our prices together so we can all make the decent amount of money and we can take advantage of the dumb private sector. That's the only time when government should be involved. Outside of that, let it coast, baby. And you know what would happen? Prices would go down. And even though you may not have to make $20 an hour, $50 an hour for your minimum wage, you could still afford the product because the prices are down. the government can stop printing money and stop investing. And I say that in air quotes because they don't invest in anything. They just create bubbles in the market that burst, which it's about to burst. And my prediction is that it's going to burst probably before the election this year because they've artificially inflated it for so long, they can't sustain it any longer. So we're in for a world of hurt this year when normally the economy would do well into an election year so the current administration can look really good and look how wonderful things are. But proof positive, look at gas prices already jumping up in March before the summertime travels even begin. It's a crazy world out there. One more segment right around the corner. Your thoughts on this and more when we come back. It's the Voice of Reason's Weekend Edition. Stay right here.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. America's safe space for common sense. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
All right, did I bore you enough with the economic talk? I know that's a heavy issue. And yeah, you take the goggles off now. Take them off. It's okay. The dream fantasy unicorn world that the Democrats live in. It's nice to fantasize once in a while. And we have to realize what reality is, which is the fact that now we have the crony capitalism in this nation. Can we get back to true capitalism? Sure. Sure. You just have to unite as a conservative movement and not allow people like Mike Pence to say, well, I know we have a candidate in the party, but we're not going to actually support it. I know. We have to break up what the elites are doing. And right now, the elites are desperate to not allow certain individuals to be in office. And this attack on the quote unquote new right, this new generation of conservatives, which is what the media has deemed us as the new right now. That's what they're calling the radicals and the militant MAGA individuals in the country, which I find kind of hilarious. There is a purpose for populism. While I talk about many times about how dangerous populism can be right now, we can make the conservative movement actually happen through populism. And it's happening all over the world. We see it happening in Argentina right now. We see it happening in El Salvador right now. We see it happening with the Brexit that we saw in Europe and the UK right now. We're seeing it in Ireland where, yes, even someone like Conor McGregor could be running for president there because of the immigration issue, which has been very critical of many politicians out there for their open border policy and the death of a 9-year-old girl. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. Cool. Open policy. Come on in. Open doors wide open for you. The issues that we're seeing here in the United States are not just unique to us, and we have to look at what the other parts of the world are doing and actually respond back to it. But instead, we like to be the dominant ones, which blows my mind. There was a speech from Chuck Schumer. I don't have the audio right now because I can't listen to it again. It was very angering, but Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has made a statement this week saying that we, as in like the United States or something, that we need to have a special election in Israel to overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu. We, I don't know what that means because we're not part of their system. We're not part of their government. We're allies with them. But as the Jew, which Chuck Schumer is a Jewish individual who stood on the lawns of Congress during the Israeli and pro-Israel and pro-Jewish rally that happened a few months ago during this ongoing conflict with Hamas, that stood there and said, God bless Israel, and that he's proud of his Jewish heritage. This is the same guy that's now on the Senate floor this past week, again, in our weekly recap.
It's your week in review.
That advocated for a special election of Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't know where we get off as the United States and the U.S. government advocating for a special election in Israel. Now, I know that we've influenced elections. If you remember under Barack Obama's administration, that Barack Obama had agents from the CIA advocating and campaigning against Benjamin Netanyahu during their special election. But Netanyahu, for those that may not remember, is the only guy that was able to rally a coalition of different beliefs, different political stances, different religions to actually have a committee and a coalition to be voted in as a unit. And for those that don't know, just a quick synopsis, their elections are slightly different than ours. They don't run as an individual. They run as a coalition. They have to have their entire cabinet voted on as a unit. And in order to do that with the way their elections run, they have to be in good graces with all the other different coalitions, political groups, religious groups that include Jewish and Muslim and Christian all together in a coalition. And you have to vote and actually get the majority as a coalition group. And Benjamin Netanyahu, after he stepped down the last time, no one else could find a rallying cry to unify the coalition like he was able to do, which is why he's prime minister again, and the left absolutely hates him. But after those statements from Chuck Schumer, according to them this weekend as well, the pro-Israel allies around the world have come to the defense of Bibi Netanyahu, where he said that he will not stop the war against Hamas, the terrorist organization at the border that has created them to have the Iron Dome, the strongest defense mechanism in the world, because of the ongoing missile attacks from Hamas and other groups around that area, wanting the destruction of the Jewish nation and the country of Israel, that all these other pro-Israel nations that are allies with them have come to the defense of Bibi and said that they stand with him 110%. But this is nothing more than the election ploy from the Democrats desperate to win back the Muslim populations in states like Michigan, states like Minnesota, where they could be the deciding factor on whether Joe Biden wins them or not. Because for the first time in a very long time, Donald Trump and the Republicans, you know, the evil racist Nazi that Donald Trump is, he's actually in play in these states because the Muslim populations have vowed not to support Joe Biden. And because of that, the desperation showing. Hey, Chuck Schumer, you might want to cover up your desperation showing just a little bit with his anti-Netanyahu speech that's been redacted by many pro-Israel nations around the globe. And then, of course, showing that we like to bully them by telling them, hey, you better do your own election and get rid of this guy because we no longer support him. How insanely self-centered are we as the United States and our federal government? How insane. Everybody have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Aaron Gobrah to you if you enjoy. Until then, enjoy it. Be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. This is the Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.